Tell them again. You're gifted. Ooh. You know, some people have a hard time to accept that and receive it. We're gifted. And there is what we call giftings. And when you're in the place of giftings and gifting, you're giving without expectation. Does anybody understand that? That is the heart of Christ. In other words, you're doing without looking for a reward. See, because so many people want to be recognized or want to be paid. I mean, and don't get me wrong, you go to work, you get a job, whatever. But people want to be rewarded for doing something good. And we shouldn't be looking from man. We should be looking to God because we labor unto the Lord. Amen. God knows exactly what, and let me tell you, He can move on anybody's heart to come up and bless you. I've seen it happen many, many times to myself and to others. Where somebody come up and said, you know what, the Lord put something on my heart. Here's an envelope, $4,000 or $5,000. Whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But again, why? Because you're laboring unto the Lord. And that inner walk and inner relationship with the Lord is personal. It's between you and Him. Even when you're in a fallen state, it's still personal and between you and Him. As an individual is in a fallen state, they continue to acknowledge the Lord no matter what's going on. He brings them out. He brings them out, even though they slip a little bit on the rope and go deeper. But God keeps providing the rope for escape. Because His love for me and you is unconditional. And we have a hard time with unconditional love. See, we want to express love and receive love. But sometimes we can't receive the love because it comes in a different form or a different way. The Bible says the chastening of God's people is because He loves them. But you and I were brought up in a world that says a spanking is hatred. I could never figure it out. When I was getting my butt kicked, I love you. What are you, nuts? If you love me, you wouldn't be kicking my butt. I wouldn't be getting spanked. I wouldn't be getting punished. But see, that is for our good. Because in the chastening, in the sufferings, it's all working to the good. This is how we learn. And in this time and season right now, and what God is doing is He's bringing what we call the giftings. In other words, it's gifting. His children are to be a gift to humanity as He was a gift to His children. Does everybody get this? So the body of Christ is to be a gift to the world. It doesn't make us any better. It should be not prideful. But we're, why? Because God is giving us to the world freely. No expectations. Does everybody understand? This is God's love. This is where we are right now. Gifting. Gifting. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say through grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of what? A faith. So faith is God's gifting to you. It's a gift. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same what? Functions. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having them what? Gifts. Differing according to the grace that was given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our what? Faith. So gifts and faith go together. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teachings, he who exhorts in exhortations, he who gives with liberally, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. See, these are all giftings. They're all giftings. Verse 9. Let us love without what? Hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Whoa. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving in the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and giving to hospitality. Bless those who what? Persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. And do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble, and do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for what is good, for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so you're doing what? You will reap what? Coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is all part of giftings. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, happy days. You know, when a person least expects something, and that person comes across your path, and you express the gifting that God has given you, it blows that person away. With no expectation. You know, it blows that person away. Because you don't see that. But it should be coming from the body of Christ in every area. When you least expect, you never know. That's how God is with us. He loves to bless us with things and gift us when we least expect it. And it doesn't have to, it may come from God, because everything comes from God. But it comes through someone else or something. But you recognize it's from the Lord, but that person cooperated with the will of God because of the same heart. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in what? No gift or no what? Gifting. Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. Fall no short of gifting. Fall no short of gifting. 1 Corinthians 12. Most humanity is takers, not givers. They pretend to give with expectation to receive something. It's not gifting. In fact, you can call it bribery if you want. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. But concerning what? Spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to those dumb idols, however you are led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, the Lord just spoke of the Trinity. Does everybody see it? There are diversities of gifts, but it's the what? Same Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. That's Holy Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Who's the Lord? Jesus. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. That's the Father. Amen. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills or as is needed. Now, we do not go around and try to, oh, what gift is that? Who cares? Just give it. Amen? You don't have to be concerned if there was a word of knowledge, if there was prophecy. It doesn't matter. But I want you to realize something, that all of these giftings lay on a foundation of tongues. They all lay on the foundation of tongues. Because even interpretation of tongues is prophecy. I had an individual come up to me and tell me, yeah, I can interpret tongues. I said, well, you pray in tongues? He said, no. I said, well, then you can't interpret tongues. Anyway, he tried to convince me. 1 Peter chapter 4. Believe it or not, it was a pastor. Hallelujah. Gifts of the Spirit are giftings. And you begin to practice them. Now, you don't go around and practice it on everything. There's a practice that you do privately with the Holy Spirit. I would allow, as I began to pray in tongues, see, the Spirit tells us things to come. I think that's the most important thing of all of the giftings. Why? Because you can avoid traps. you know the deceptions of the enemy? He'll tell you something. You'll be driving down the road and all of a sudden he'll tell you there's a person that's going to come out and run that stop sign. He'll also tell you there's a cop around that corner. Thank God. He lets you know if you're paying attention. If you're not distracted, he'll let you know. He'll let you know and give you a way of escape. If you're listening, if you're hearing, if you're paying attention. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when I was in the drug world, I used to call angels mole watchers, and humans were moles. So when I go do drug deals, I'd ask the mole watchers to protect me. I knew they were from God. And I've heard the voice of God, even though I was a heathen out there, didn't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'd hear him tell me, don't go there. Don't do that. When I got busted, he told me over and over and over, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a setup. And I got busted. And I was kicking myself in the butt going, man, I know that voice. I should have listened to that voice. And I got sentenced to life. He tried to rescue me. Even when I was out there. And look at how many times you heard a voice tell you that you thought it was annoying, even before you were saved and you were out there, even in purchases and whatever. It doesn't matter. He was always there. Always there. Even when we're idiots out there. And he's going to always still be here. Because he's faithful. But the whole thing was learning his unction. Practicing these things. Knowing what's going on. Being aware. You must practice the things in the spirit to hear, to see, and to know. Why? So you can help. So you can become obedient. Practice these things. Expect with someone, in other words, have an expectation of something that's going to happen. Ask the Holy Spirit. What's the expectation? What's the next thing that's getting ready to happen? Everybody in the whole world knows something's about to happen. Who do you think's telling them that? God is making people aware. Because of their blindness. All of these events are going on because people have not been aware. God wants them awakened before he releases his judgment. Not his wrath, his judgment. Because nobody escapes his wrath. If you're left here in the wrath, you will not escape. But his judgment is to prepare people and awaken them so they're not left for his wrath. Amen? 1 Pete 4. Praise God. Verse 7. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. But be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, there's something special that God has given you. You may not even know it yet, but somebody else may recognize something special in you, knowing that it's a gifting of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God can supplies, that in all things God may be what? Glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner go? Appear. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful creator. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. In other words, grace is God's plan. Amen? It's his gift, his plan. Aren't we to express God's plan to others? It's gifting. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's the fullness of the anointing, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its giving or gifting, causes growth of the body for the edifying of each other, of itself in love. Grace, according to Christ's gifting, is to us. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your what? Youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. How about giftings? Yeah. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate, focus on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who what? Hear you. Who hear you. Why? Because you've been gifting. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we what? Drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. According to his what? Own will. Praise God. Now, that in this he's expressing the area of putting things into practice. Putting it into practice. In James chapter 1. You know, another thing that can be practices your own interpretation of tongues. When you're in your room or wherever by yourself, you can begin to pray in tongues and ask the Lord to give you a message. Write it down. You pray in tongues. In other words, there's where you're praying to God, but then God will also, he's imparting something in you. And and you can ask him, Lord, can I have an interpretation of the tongue today? When you're praying in tongues, you'll get the interpretation. You just start writing it down. There was a guy that, I forgot his name now, but anyways, I have one of his books. That guy prayed in tongues for 8 hours a day. Yeah, Dave Robertson. And he was brought up in this, I don't know, some holy church or whatever, something. He actually prayed his way out of it, I think. But they used to just throw him in a room and say, pray in tongues. And he'd be praying in tongues. He said he'd pray in tongues so long he started spitting cotton. But he prayed in tongues. That's all he did. That was what he was to do. He prayed in tongues for hours and hours. Eventually, miracles began to happen with him. Visitations began to happen. This guy traveled the world. And his main focus was to give the giftings, to teach people about the giftings of the Spirit and about the foundation of the gifts, which is tongues. And it's so vitally important. It is the simplest gift. You can't mess it up. You can mess up every other gift. But you know, then people go, but that's what he was called to do. And now there are people that are granolas, nutty and fruity, who will pray in tongues and give the interpretation out of the soul or out of the flesh and not out of the spirit. Because they're walking in what you call a mixed anointing. And then there's the gifts of interpretation of tongues when we're gathered together. Even though we're all praying in tongues, that's exercising. So God can impart something or give something to all of us when we go around and interpret around a round table. When somebody gets a word or whatever it is, even if it's one word, we see it and we have fun with it. It's supposed to be fun. And sometimes God has a serious note, but then sometimes there's a funny and silly note. But then there's a time when tongues will come on a person and it will speak alone in a tongue when we're gathered together. I don't usually promote it because everybody will be doing it instead of letting the Spirit lead them. And then another person will interpret what that tongue was. It's called the why? Because it's a message for the body, for that group. But when we do it at the round table, it's the same thing. Except for everyone is getting it, not just one. Does everybody understand that? I've had people ask me, how come you don't allow the gift of tongues for the interpretation and this and that, whatever? Because I don't want people turning into granolas. Then I don't want anything in the flesh. Because I see it all the time. I've been at churches and fellowships where they'll stand up, or somebody will stand up, and it's usually the same people who'll stand up, speak tongues, and the other person stand up, interpret it. And it's the message for the church. And I'm not saying that every time it's happened, it's, you know, I've had a witness on it that it was of God, and then I've had a witness that it wasn't for God. In fact, I wanted to stand up and say, sit down. But I won't interrupt because I'm not the authority there. So I have to put up with it. But anyways, this is where we put things into practice. So when we do the round table, we put it into practice. You can do that by yourself. You can do it in the fellowship houses. You can do it at home. Heck, when you're in the morning prayer group, you can all pray in tongues. Well, you do anyways. It's so important now because God wants us to begin to be more sensitive to the giftings. And be respectful of one another's giftings. Amen? Hallelujah. It's, you know, some people are really gifted at teaching. People are gifted at preaching. Some people are gifted at shutting up. That could be a good thing, you know, because some people are not gifted in shutting up. They got motor mouth. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 16. Do not be what? Deceive my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to react. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Good gifts are from above. Amen. Proverbs 18:16. What does it say? A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before what? Great men. See, as you begin to put the giftings into practice, and your gifts, your giftings, amen? Now, people call things smart. I think my phone is the most dumbest phone there is. Even though we call it smart. But anyways, it needs to know what I'm thinking, but it just doesn't. It's stupid. I got to explain to it everything. But in the area of the gifting, as you begin to put it into practice, others will recognize it. And as God begins to see that you're, I don't like to use perfecting, but you're practicing, you're beginning to perfect, you're stable with it, you're consistent with it, accurate, he'll begin to place you for a position for that gifting. Whether it's, some people are good at numbers. Hallelujah. Some people ain't. Some people are good at, you know, in hospitality. Some, we talked about that. I mean, these are just, these are gifts that we utilize to infiltrate the world. These are giftings that infiltrate the world, whether it's in construction, whether what's what, you know. Word of mouth will get around that you are gifted in doing something. Amen? Look at the tennis players and sports players. Many of them, I mean, some of these kids were born with a tennis racket in their hand. They came right out of the womb with one. And when you wonder why, how, I mean, they're players, and they make it look so good and simple because they're gifted. And then you realize they've been playing since they've been 4 years old or two or whatever. Now they got kids that are in many race cars that are three years old driving race cars and 4 years old. I mean, it's incredible. I would have loved it. Hallelujah. You know, you think about these people that are, they're gifted. A pilot is gifted to fly. You know, because they're able to learn. Some people are, it's easier for them to learn than others. Some people it's harder. Some people need hands-on. Other people could get it right out of a book. I hate instructions in the book. This book, I love instructions. But when I get something to build together, instructions. I always have extra parts, which is good. It goes into my MacGyver pile, which is okay. But you know what? As long as it's completed and works fine, we're in. That's a gift from God. My wife not might agree with it, but anyways. Man's gifts makes room for him. Does everybody understand that? And we're going to close this at Ecclesiastes 5. You might be a famous hairdresser. We are gifted at it. You might not be famous, but you're still gifted at it. You could be the best toilet bowl cleaner. You're gifted. It doesn't matter. As long as you do it unto the Lord. Ecclesiastes 5. Hallelujah. Verse 18. And then, you know, you may fall into something that you're gifted and didn't know you were. Somebody might ask you, you know, can you do this or whatever? Man, I don't know anything about that. And next thing, it's done. Wow. You are gifted because you, there's an area where we are gifted as children of God Almighty, and that's in vision. There's an area to where when the Spirit speaks, you see. Vision. It's not just words. It's art. It's a picture. That's how God speaks to you more than just words. But many people don't realize it. They're not aware of it. He'll be showing you things. I'll never forget one day I was driving, and as I was driving, I had to be somewhere. And the next thing I know, while I'm driving, I have this vision. And it was somebody up in my attic, and their foot went through the roof to the ceiling. And I said, no, Lord, please don't allow that to happen, that I have to repair it all. I came home, and there was a big hole in my ceiling. Don't worry about it. It's just water. Praise God. So anyhow, you're really gifted, huh? You'd have to be gifted to take care of me. I'm a handful. And I admit it. Praise God. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18. We'll close here. Did you have fun tonight? Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. Here is what I have seen. Here is what I what? Have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor, in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage, and rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. For he will not dwell on dully on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. Hallelujah. So we be laboring unto the Lord. And we're busy not because we staying busy. We're busy because God is allowing us to receive gifts and give gifts. We're gifting. And it brings joy to us because we're doing something unto the Lord. Something we're doing is always helping someone. If you're helping someone, that's gifting. You know? Even being kind to someone is gifting. Acknowledging someone is gifting. All life is precious. All life. No matter what they're doing, they're just deceived. Many of them are deceived. They may think they're gifted, but that ain't the gift from God. Amen? But there's an area where you and I have an opportunity to give without expectation of anything. Our reward comes from the Lord. And that is the time of gifting. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. You're very good to us. You're very good. So, Lord, let this be protected and prepared that we may put to practice the gifting that you've anointed us with. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.